The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I have another yet special guest today, and I want to lead into this by saying, you know, everybody who listens to me knows that I spend an inordinate amount of time on LinkedIn. So I'm cruising through my connections, and for some reason I end up at Tim Simon's profile. Tim works for Cisco, and he is a digital marketing guru there. But I'm looking at his profile, and I'm going, damn, this is good. So I sent him a note and said, man, your profile, you know, I help people improve their profiles. This doesn't need any improvement. This is dead on the money. And he says, well, Judy helped me. I said, Judy who? He said, Judy Schramm, you don't know her? I'm going, well, kind of. I mean, we've been connected for a while, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know her. So now I do, and here she is. Judy, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming in to Washington, D.C. on, oh, what a lovely time to drive into town. There isn't a good time. So.
No, it was a piece of cake today.
Oh, good. For you, maybe. I had my Google made me change directions three times coming from Columbia. I hate when that happens. So tell people a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what Pro Resource does in our universe.
I would be happy to. So I'm the CEO of a social media marketing agency called Pro Resource, and we're an unusual agency in that where most agencies specialize in working with corporations and brands, we work with individual executives. And we help them create a strong personal presence in social media, primarily LinkedIn, and then use that social presence towards their business goals to make faster progress. And so we work with a lot of technology CEOs, especially in smaller companies. At larger companies like Cisco and VMware, we work with vice presidents and directors.
Oh, cool. You work with Christina Morrison by any chance over at VMware?
No.
Okay.
No.
She's my guest lecturer tonight in my my graduate class.
Cool.
So, yeah, we've spoken together a number. She was the first person that I saw in the government market that had the title social media manager.
Oh, that's
great.
And
this was like 10 years ago when she was at HP. So very cool lady, very bright lady. So, you know, I'm looking at Tim's profile, and I was really impressed. I mean, down to, you know, the length of the paragraph so you can read it on a mobile device, the word per idea ratio. So he told a story really well, but he told it very tightly because you only have so many characters in each spot on LinkedIn.
That's right.
So my theory is that all competent people have both a country song and a good story in them. And the question becomes whether or not the song gets sung in public and the story gets told in public. So
that's right.
But for business people, how you get from point A to point B is really very important if you're going to start building credibility. And you apparently have done that with a variety of people.
We have. And one of the reasons we like to help people is because it is so hard to do this for yourself. You know, when you're writing a summary on your LinkedIn profile, you want to be writing about what matters to you, what your passion is, what your vision for your career is. And when people sit down with a kind of a blank slate and think, what am I going to write? Even people with the most impressive careers just get writer's block. Whereas when they work with a writer, like our writers, they just get on the phone and they talk. And they tell stories, and then the writer organizes what they say and puts a hook on it and then makes it tight and compelling. And so it's them, but without them having to do the work and without them having to, you know, figure out how they want to organize things and polish it.
That and the fact that, you know, a lot of people out there still are saying, well, gee, you know, I shouldn't do that because that'll look like bragging. Well, you know, it ain't bragging if you done it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
I was listening to Montgomery Gentry on the way in, so I'm talking funny.
So I just did 2 blog posts about this, as a matter of fact, because one of our clients was kept saying, you know, I don't want to brag. And we were saying, well, you've done this. You're not bragging. You're being transparent.
Yeah.
It's allowing people to see who you really are. You know, hiding your light under a bushel doesn't do anyone any good. And when you are authentic about who you are and transparent and allow people to see your personality and your track record, then it draws people who want exactly that right to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Diogenes is out there with his lamp walking around. If your lamp's not on, he's going to walk by.
You know, there's too much noise online to hide yourself.
That and the fact that so many people without credentials claim that thought leader, subject matter area, mantle. And then you start trying to find depth and it just isn't there.
Right. A lot of people, I think, want to be thought leaders because there's a lot of data around the value of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Hinge Marketing Group has some data showing that thought leaders can charge 14 times what a regular professional charges. And so if you think about what a professional charges, multiply that by 14, that's a considerable jump.
Yeah.
And so people want to be seen as thought leaders, but wanting to be a thought leader and actually being a thought leader are 2 different things.
Right. You know, it takes, number one, an incredible amount of knowledge and experience. So
it does.
You can be a subject matter expert and live in your parents' basement. Again, if you're not turning on the light, nobody's going to find you, right? So you're sitting down there with your bottle of Dr. Pepper, eating Cheez-Its, being the brightest person in the universe, and who cares? But, you know, the people that turn on the light and, you know, it's kind of a vacuum behind the light. That irritates the heck out of me.
Well, it's kind of funny that you mentioned this because we were talking about it this morning. You know, what makes an expert versus what makes a thought leader? And, you know, put all the heads in the room into it. And what we came out with was that, you know, to be an expert, you have to have you have to make it easy for people to see where your expertise came from.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are things that people, you know, living on a couch in their parents' basement, drinking Dr. Pepper can be an expert on. But, you know, government marketing is not one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have had jobs in the field. You have to have had opportunities to be part of projects, to interact with people, other people who are experts. You know, and you can make that visible on your LinkedIn profile, and to really be seen as an expert, you have to have put in the work, and you have to make that work visible.
Yeah.
And it, you know, LinkedIn is designed for doing things like that.
Yeah. My personal take on the thought leader SME differentiator is just about anybody can build themselves over a career into a subject matter expert. And in pretty much any field, you know, I've seen a couple in like fields like window washing. There's just, you know, there's no boundary there. But the difference to me, for me, between a subject matter and a thought leader is a thought leader is a mantle temporarily bestowed by a community on an individual. It's not a lifetime gig unless you're busting your ass every day. So for me, a prime example, are you familiar with the work of Michael Porter?
No.
Out of Harvard. He's this ultra guru on strategy. And, you know, McKinsey reads his stuff and, you know, Boston Consulting, blah, blah, on and on. Nobody understands him. One of his acolytes had to write a book called Understanding Michael Porter. I'm going, you know, because I bought 2 of his books and I get like 2 big. It was like reading Bertrand Russell's Principia Mathematica, right? It's like 10 people in the world who can read this thing, and I'm not one of them. So part of it, and this goes back to Hinge again, because Lee's very adamant about this. a thought leader, a subject matter expert, is somebody you can explain things in understandable terms, regardless of how complex they might be.
Right. That's what we think, too, that thought leader shares their knowledge and is respected by other thought leaders. So, you know, if you want to put it in terms of how do you make that visible on LinkedIn, you want to be blogging or doing videos or something that shares your knowledge. And then you also want to be interacting with other people who have the same or similar areas of expertise.
Yep.
And allow people to see that they know who you are. They are respected. You are respected by them. And that you're giving back, you're adding, you're taking what they share and you're adding your own insights. You're building on it. And that's what makes people.
Right. So if you want to be a subject matter expert, job number one is to know your stuff inside out. Job number two is to differentiate. Job number three is to network with other subject matter experts in your area of expertise.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to get juiced out of this when I have, you know, conversations with Lee. I get juiced. I had Danielle Brigida from Fish and Wildlife on a few weeks ago.
She was great.
Was she
cool?
Were geeking? Oh, man. That was a blast. And this is a blast. We're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM. I'm only on the first bullet point in my notes of things to talk about, so we shall return. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with Judy Schramm, the CEO of Pro Resource. It's one word, Pro Resource, proresource.com, Pro Resource on LinkedIn, Judy Schramm on LinkedIn, S-C-H-R-A, two M's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we were talking between takes. We've both been on LinkedIn for 14 years now. Most people didn't even know it existed 14 years ago.
That's right.
We found ourselves in a very similar spot way back when. And that was, all right, I'm here. Nothing's happening. I think I'll sit here and wait for something to happen. So people who listen to my show have heard my end of the story a number of times. So what got you moving on LinkedIn and what attracted you to build your business around social?
Well, so what brought me to LinkedIn is that I was watching my kids on Facebook. And at that time, you were only allowed to join Facebook if you could prove you were attending a college or high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my kids were in high school. They were able to prove that they were in high school and they were on Facebook and they were having a great time. And I heard about LinkedIn and I thought, you know, what the heck? I'll join it. And you know, I was actually one of the first 100,000 members, which gets me exactly nothing.
Yeah.
I bet you were too.
No, and, number 224,455.
Okay.
First quarter million.
Impressive. Impressive. And so I did not do a whole lot with it at first. I was running my own business. I wasn't looking for a job. And it began as a resume database. But I thought, you know, it looks interesting. This seems to be a new trend, and let me play with it a little bit. And I did not do anything significant with it for a couple years. What happened was we were working with some clients who, we had the recession back then.
I seem to recall.
And we had clients who
people hate consultants during recessions, by the way.
Well, and they're not big fans of marketing. They just want sales. And so we had clients who had severely restricted their marketing budgets, and we had the option of buying a list or marketing to the list, which, you know, was not a good choice. And so out of desperation, we thought, you know, I wonder if we could just get on LinkedIn and build a list, because we're selling to the client, you know, clients were selling to IT people, and IT people were well represented on LinkedIn. So
15% of the population
on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's great. And so we discovered that we could in fact build lists. We could, you know, not massive lists, but small lists, and we could market to them, and it was cost effective and it worked. And so we just fell in love with LinkedIn and started doing more with it, and you know, at first we were using it in the non-approved way, and you know.
Who reads the terms?
over the years, LinkedIn and what we wanted to do with LinkedIn have aligned more closely, mm-hmm. and we just love it.
It's, you know, it's difficult to overstate this. You're B2B, and some of your clients are B2G. I'm exclusively B2G. I just finished about 2 months ago my biannual census of feds on LinkedIn, and we broke 2 million feds on LinkedIn. And, you know, we can slice and dice them by agency, by sub-agency, by job title, sometimes by function area, sometimes by the contracts they manage, which helps a lot of the people that I work with.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you can do, but let's talk about building a presence on LinkedIn, because, you know, having a placeholder, you know, your name on a profile that says nothing is not really what you want to do.
Right, right. It's a missed opportunity. And, you know, so for most of the people we work with, they're senior executives. They're powerful people. And they have a strong real-world presence. And yet, a lot of times when you Google them, and people do Google them, you know, you come to the LinkedIn profile because typically the LinkedIn profile is the number two search result. And you go, and there's nothing there. And I've had CEOs say, well, I'm not looking for a job, so I didn't think I needed to be on LinkedIn. Well, you're so wrong.
Yeah.
It's, you know, especially since the Microsoft acquisition, your LinkedIn profile is your professional presence online. And people Google you, and people look you up before meetings, and it's, if you are not taking the opportunity to feed people what you want them to know about you before they meet with you, you are missing a big opportunity. And, you know, for some of these executives, one of the things I like to talk about is how you save time with LinkedIn. You know, a lot of people think that putting, you know, social media takes hours and hours and hours, and, you know, you don't get anything out of it. And again, that's just not right. What we've seen is that if you put on your LinkedIn profile what you want people to know about you, what you're working on, what you care about, you let your personality come through. First of all, you attract people who want that. Second of all, people come to meetings with you better prepared. And so a story about that, we have a client that is, it's a 47-year-old logistics company, and they're looking for their new generation of management. Hired an expensive recruiting firm, and the recruiting firm was bringing them candidates. But they did not have a presence online very much at all, and not on LinkedIn, period. And so they were spending the entire time they were interviewing people telling them about the business, educating them. And what that meant was they were talking, they were not listening, they weren't learning anything, and they were having trouble evaluating the candidates. And what they decided to do was to have strong LinkedIn profiles for each of the top executives so that people could do their homework before the meeting, come in prepared, not just knowing about the business, but having ideas. And that allowed them to spend their time much more efficiently.
And if they didn't do their homework, that became apparent very quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And four years ago, I did my first take on this. I've done about 110 posts, I guess, on LinkedIn now. But yeah. One of them is... the simple act of being on LinkedIn is marketing.
A good one.
And it's one of my personal favorites because it's so obvious, but so few people do anything about it. You know,
right.
If you're being vetted by, you know, potential employers, by future co-workers by, you know, in my market, by government contracting officers or the internal IT staff that's looking for expertise. And if you aren't, you know, something as simple as keeping your certs up to date on your profile. If your certs aren't up to date and they, you say they are on your resume, what are they going to believe?
Right. Right. And recruiting as well. You know, 35% of the workforce is millennials now. That's the largest group. And you know millennials are going to check you out in social media to see if you're the kind of boss they want to work for. And so, you know, this is, again, something you can, where you can create your brand in social media. And we were working with a Cisco executive who wanted to have more women. He ran a technical team. He wanted more women and more veterans. Well, there was no way to know that, right? So he put that information on his profile, and he talked about how it, much it mattered to him, how much it meant to him to see people grow in their careers, to see women and veterans, you know, for the veterans transition into civilian life and then, you know, create a strong career for the women to be in a technical environment and succeed at a very high level. And that went on his profile. His own marketing team hadn't known that about him, you know, but then they could start featuring him. And, you know, it told people what he was looking for. And if you tell people what you're looking for, you're a lot more likely to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I tell this to salespeople, especially when I'm coaching sales teams or individuals, that if you don't clearly, you know, have your goals in mind when you're writing your profile, what you want people to do when you when they read your profile, then, you know, you're losing about 90% of what LinkedIn brings to the table. Something as simple as how do you want them to contact you? And is that in your summary? Is that clear, easy to find in your profile? My right. contact information shows up 7 times in my profile.
You have a long profile, too.
I have a very long profile. Don't print it.
How many pages is it now?
If you print it, it's about 60.
Wow.
But that, well, that's because...
Of all your recommendations.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I go back. My best job ever was being room dad in my daughter's pre-K. And I have that on LinkedIn. And I have it as my favorite job. And it was. Hanging out
job.
With four-year-olds, reading stories twice a week. How cool was that?
Pretty cool.
It was fun. It pissed my wife off enough that she quit working so she could do the same thing. She went to work for me.
Well, that's a successful
poor
job.
Woman. So let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back after this. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here with Judy Schramm of Pro Resource, proresource.com. Find her on LinkedIn. It is Schramm with Schramm, S-C-H-R-A-M-M. So we have this wonderful marketing platform that we can play with. How do we populate it with information that makes your profile sticky?
So the first thing you want to think about is, after somebody reads your profile, what do you want them to do next? So, you know, do they need an introduction to your business, a simple introduction? Do they need to appreciate the value of the new product that you're launching? Do you need to address certain objections? Do you want to talk to a specific vertical, right? What is the next step? And that's the content that you should have on the profile. You don't want to have all your content on there. You know, it's nice to have a range of things, but, you know, people in social media want to be in and they want to be out. And so the easier you can make it for them to know what to do, the better off you are. And so we like to see things like, you know, an overview data sheet or a customer quotes video, you know, or a PowerPoint that talks about the issues, the problems that you've solved. and include that, and then make sure in your contact information you have, you know, you're directing them to the next step as well.
Yeah. I have people who come to my profile, or they say they do, to go to Mark's activity because they're not following me on Twitter. You know, they don't know, you know, when my columns come out in WashTech, whatever. So my activity will reflect all of that because I'm not going to do something and not talk about it. Now, my activity will also be articles from 50 other people. So you have to go down a little bit to find stuff. But there's always interesting stuff there. But that brings me to actually a real point, which is the profile can be a destination. It can be an information source in itself.
Exactly. And so we see that a lot with people who are doing startups, and maybe they don't have a website yet. We see that with people who are individual consultants, and maybe they can't justify building out a website because they're just getting their business off the ground, or because they, you know, pretty much everything they have is on LinkedIn. You know, they don't necessarily need much of a presence.
As long as there's contact method.
Right. So. Because the advantage to LinkedIn is not only can you see what the person tells you about themselves, you can also see what other people think about them. And you're not going to find that on their website. So, you know, you can see who's in their network. You can see who they know that you know. You can see what people are doing with their content, and you can see whose content they're interacting with. And you can see their recommendations. You can see the skill endorsements. So it's a cluster of social proof. And at one glance, you can tell so much about a person just by looking at their profile, which is one of the reasons so many people go look at profiles.
Yeah, and for me, you know, if somebody reaches out to me and says, you know, I'm X, Y, and Z in the government market, and then I look at their profile and we share two connections, I'm going, you aren't even in this market.
Right.
You know, there's people in this market that I share 2,500 connections with. They're hyper-connected, admittedly, but you in this case, you are known and vetted by the people you're connected with.
You are.
And you know, sometimes when I see only 15 or 20 mutual connections, I'll actually contact some of our mutual connections and say, do you really know this person? What do you think about them?
Right. I mean, you know, if the connect, you might have 10, 20 connections in common. If they're people you know well and you respect, odds are pretty good that you're going to give that person a chance,
yeah,
at least a conversation. But if the people that you have in common are people you don't know well or people who are on the periphery of your network,
or people you're considering jettisoning anyway.
Yes. Then, then they don't have the same, you know, you don't have the same respect off the bat.
Not everybody's weighted the same.
Right.
So, yeah. But we can embed content on the summary in each of the job descriptions.
Yes.
You can generate copy via the whatever they're calling Pulse this week.
Long form, or we call them blog posts.
Yeah, they are blog posts, but LinkedIn didn't say that. You can embed it there, so you can actually write something and embed a video in it, a white paper in it, whatever you want in it. LinkedIn doesn't particularly like taking things off-site, but they don't restrict it.
No, and don't forget video.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, link to your YouTube.
Yeah.
You know.
Plus, LinkedIn is doing live video now, sort of live video, and they're prioritizing video in the newsfeed. So if you want to take advantage of if you're comfortable doing videos, you can get a lot of attention right now because LinkedIn's algorithm is putting video first. And honestly, most people are not doing it, and a lot of people are not doing it well.
No, I was going to say the second first, because and this, you know, conversations around how to develop content. It's easier to develop bad content than good content.
Always,
anyone can develop content. You know, go back to the infinite number of monkeys and typewriters theory.
Fiverr.
Yeah, it's but getting people to do something that is not simply coherent but valuable.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's marketing 101. You know, you have personas and you're addressing issues with the personas and yeah, it's about the quality.
Yeah. It's always been, Frank, from my point of view, about the quality. And I'm tired of people thinking that content is new.
No.
Content
it's not
marketing
new.
Has been
it's
with us
new.
For a few weeks.
It has been. And, you know, and some of the cool things that LinkedIn is doing to help people push out their content are in the advertising platform. And we're so excited about what you can do in advertising now on LinkedIn. The sponsored content ads are the workhorse of the ad portfolio that they have. You can use those to push out your blog posts to the exact people you want to reach, which is powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, if especially if you're targeting by job title, which so many of us are.
Yeah, well, I mean, in LinkedIn should be able to break down by vertical industry, by function, job function within that industry, by geo, you know, it just goes on and on.
You can do what people studied in college, if that's useful. You can do age and gender. You can do the geography is getting better and better, the targeting. And they have matched audiences now, which we're having a lot of fun with, where you can upload email lists and target those people. You can upload company lists and then tell people what titles you want or what roles in those companies. And you can put what they call a conversion code on your website, and you can advertise to people who've hit your website. And so those are all ways to really hone in on the exact people you want to reach and have a very organized, coherent, buyer journey mapped mm-hmm. out.
So, and if I remember correctly, you recommend a cap on the spend.
We do. And so for us, we're typically dealing with individual executives.
Right.
And the idea for them is they want to get their blog posts in front of the people who they're writing them to. And so what we usually recommend is $500 a month, which is a pretty reasonable price point for a lot of people. We can do it for as little as 300, but when you get below 300, it's
your
just too small.
Your results are a little spotty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with Judy to wrap up right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. It's a shame we can't package and sell the outtakes because there's a lot of educated banter going on here. So I'm learning some things that you can do on the paid side of LinkedIn that I don't share with my clients because I don't work on the paid side of LinkedIn. I'm the building your profile kind of guy, as is Judy. But for companies, she'll explain in just a second. So anyway, the outtakes were great. Sorry you didn't hear them. Maybe next time, probably not. So you've got a couple of things that you do. Start with a talent pool.
Okay. So the idea behind a talent pool is that if you need to grow your business quickly, you're going to need to hire fast, and hiring can take a while. So what you can do when you are aware that you're going to have to hire is you start building a talent pool on LinkedIn. And the way you do it is this. So you reach out to people who have the skills and the experience who would be ideal candidates for the kind of position you want to hire for. And so I'll just say that when we're talking to people, it's almost always they want a specific type of software developer, systems engineer, or they need a lot of salespeople. And so both of those are really good groups to build a talent pool around. And what you do is you identify people who are ideal, and then you introduce yourself to them and you say, you know, I was doing a search on LinkedIn. Your profile came up. You have the characteristics of the kind of person we want to hire. Do you know of anyone who might be looking for a job? And the reason we do it like that is that, first of all, the best people are not looking for a job. And so you can post your job, but they're not looking for a job, so they're never going to see it. So if you tap them on the shoulder by introducing yourself on LinkedIn, then you're bringing your job posting to their awareness. And so that has value by itself. The second thing it does is it allows you to tap into their network. So people know people like themselves. So somebody who is ideally qualified probably knows other people who are ideally qualified. And when you tap that one on the shoulder, you're able to reach out into their network because they can do their friends and colleagues a favor by telling them about the job. And so you get some real leverage there. And the people you reach out to are fairly likely to connect with you. So what we see is that the average cold connection rate on LinkedIn right now is running right around 20%. At least that's what we're seeing. When you're doing a talent pool, lots of times you can get a 50% connection rate. And so that means you've got a lot of people who are now connected to you, who are seeing your postings about your company, about your business, about the exciting things that are going on.
About your needs.
About your needs, right? And so you are building a relationship with them before you are, well, in advance of the hiring situation, mm-hmm. right? And so what that allows you to do then is you have this group of people. So ideally, you find somebody to fill your current open position, but you have also now built out potentially hundreds of people who have the characteristics you want so that when you need to hire fast, you can reach out to your network directly. And these are people who are now warm, who've heard about your business, who are excited about what you're doing. And so that shortens the hiring process for you.
Okay. Second item is your test matrix.
Yes, I love the test matrix. So when you are doing marketing, especially when you're entering a new market or you're launching a new product, there are uncertainties. And lots of times there are multiple people who would benefit from what you have developed, and there are multiple reasons that they would get value from it. And so the trick is, well, what do you begin with? And obviously you can go with your best guess, but how much better to have data? So what we do is we do what we call a test matrix, and you can think of it as a spreadsheet, with the personas, the buyer personas as rows, and then the different messages the ways you might explain how you can solve problems for people, what your product does, are the columns. And just to give you an idea of what the different messages might be, for software, for example, all software saves time, saves money, lets you do things you couldn't do before, and it has cool features. And so one of those things is going to be much more impressive to your target market than the other. And so when you test those on your buyer personas, you can find out who's most interested and what you need to say to get those people to engage with you. And what we often see is that one of the personas will respond at twice the rate of the others. And one of the messages will be 2 to 4 times more effective than the others. And so you can imagine what that does to your marketing results. And so not only do you now know what persona and what message, you also know if the other personas are responsive, you know what they respond to, because not every persona is going to care about the same thing. And so you can go into a project instead of having a group of people, very intelligent people around the table, all arguing about what they think is right.
Yeah.
And you can go in with data about what people actually responded to. And you can do this before you have a product built, before you have anything you can demo. You can go into it just when you have an idea. And LinkedIn is a fabulous test bed to put your ideas out there and see what people respond to, see what they're interested in.
Yep. I want you to comment on one last thing, and this is something we discussed before coming into the studio, and that is how spending time on LinkedIn can actually save you time.
Yes. So this is a, you know, a big issue, because a lot of executives especially feel like you pour money into social media, you have to post, you have to tweet 20 times a day, and they just don't have time for that. But when you do it right, the time you put into LinkedIn pays you dividends. And one way is the time that you spend in meetings, the quality of the conversations you have in meetings. So when you, and we talked about that a little bit before, but when you prime people before they come into a meeting, you have a richer, deeper conversation. This, the second thing that LinkedIn helps you do is it helps you maintain relationships with more people with less effort. So, you know, if you are doing relationship building in the real world, you know, you have conversations with people over the phone, you meet them for coffee, you meet them at conferences, you write letters or emails, and that's a one-to-one means. And, you know, realistically, you can only keep relationships alive at, you know, a certain level when you do that, because your time is limited. But when you're on social media, think about it like with Facebook. You know, you are friends, I'm sure, on Facebook with people you used to work with, people you went to college with, your former next door neighbors, probably people you went to high school with, or people you were even in elementary school with. And because
you've
you are
spying on me,
I heard that. I heard that episode too. But the, you know, you now know more about those people probably than you did when you saw them every day.
Yeah.
You know where they went to school. You know where they went on vacation because you saw the photos. You know, and so LinkedIn is the same thing. Business is built on relationships, and so the more people you can keep up to date with what you're working on now, the more people that you can share your news and your excitement with, the more leverage you have, and the more value accrues to you. You can also save time in terms of gathering market intelligence. So, you know, we all know that sometimes having one piece of information makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And it just one little piece. And so you can use LinkedIn to keep up with competitors, partners, clients, prospects, and employees, and the media, of course. And when you put that information into your news feed, you have information faster, and you have it in without filtering, because if you get your news from the newspaper or from people who work for you who write reports, or you know, any of the other variety of sources, it's been filtered by people who have their own perspective. Well, if you've got your finger on the pulse real time, you understand things at a deeper level, and you put it through your own filter, and you'll perceive things that you would not have seen or heard about otherwise.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen reporters hear news about executives migrating. Nobody's returning calls from the company or the executive. So they'll look at the LinkedIn profile and go, ah, they're right. And the story happens, and it's predicated on a profile update. That, you know, maybe somebody let loose early, or the company didn't want to come out, but the individual said, you know, I don't work for you anymore. So here it is.
Right.
So it can happen. Judy, thank you so much for coming in.
That's my pleasure.
It's a lot of fun when it's done right. And this one is going to be fun to listen to. I don't listen to all of my shows.
Well, you were there in the real world.
Yeah, well, every now and again, you got, you know, some that are worth listening to more than a couple of times. So thank you again for coming in. My guest has been Judy Schramm, CEO ProResource, ProResource.com. Look up Judy on LinkedIn. She can help you with social, with building that SME platform. And this is not my day job. So can I. But Judy does some things that I don't do, and I'm not going to. So I'm not going to do the test matrix, and I'm not going to do the talent pool. I'm more concerned with people getting leverage out of their own profiles and helping, you know, sales managers turn their teams into an exponential outreach unit. So if you need help there, drop me a line, mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.